uproar over Trump immigration comment.
I don't know how you can conclude that that's anything but racism.
Hope fades for mudslide survivors.
I have as much hope as I could possibly have right now, but it's looking pretty grim.
Facebook's newsfeed makeover.
They will prioritize the kind of content we talk about and that we share with our friends.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Simmons Beauty Rest.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan. There's been global condemnation of President Trump's vulgar and derisive reference to Haiti, El Salvador, and countries in Africa in the White House discussion on immigration. Some have called it shameful, others say it's racist. We're live with White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
It happened in the Oval Office yesterday as the president huddled with members of Congress who offered their proposals for an immigration deal. Sources say Mr. Trump exploded when the negotiators said that a deal for the Dreamers might also cover those who've been here legally for years under temporary protected status. They include thousands from Haiti, El Salvador, and a handful of African nations. Sources say the president called them S-hole countries and asked why the U.S. couldn't bring in more people from nations like Norway. In a tweet he issued just moments ago, the president said the language he used was tough, but what's been reported was, quote, not the language used. He calls the bipartisan proposal outlandish and a big setback for a DACA deal. Steve?
Well, this has all touched off outrage from some members of Congress, Florida Republican Congresswoman Ileana Ross-Leighton.
The statements of the president are reprehensible, they're racist, they're totally incorrect.
Congressional correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Democrats are not holding back. Congressman Gutierrez of Illinois says, as an American, I am ashamed of the president. And even Republicans were taken aback. Orrin Hatch of Utah says he looks forward to a more complete explanation because this is a country that has always welcomed people from all around the world.
And there have been reverberations overseas as well. CBS's Deborah Pata is in Johannesburg, South Africa.
The spokesperson for the African Union Commission, Eba Kalondo, said that given the historical reality where many Africans arrived in the U.S. during the Atlantic slave trade, this flies in the face of all accepted behavior and practice. And the leader of South Africa's official opposition, Musi Maimane, tweeted that President Trump is promoting a racist agenda.
In a tweet last night, President Trump scrapped plans to visit Britain next month to ceremonially open the new U.S. embassy. In the message, he blamed the Obama administration for choosing the location and striking a bad deal. The decision to move there was actually made before Barack Obama took office. President Trump, who has said he's in great shape, has his first physical as president today. A group of 70 psychiatrists and psychologists have sent a letter to Mr. Trump's doctor urging an evaluation of his mental health. The White House has said that will not be part of the exam. Officials in Southern California admit in their hunt for the missing in this week's deadly mudslides that they will likely find bodies now, not survivors. CBS's Steve Futterman.
For the family and friends of those still missing, the anxiety grows as each day goes by.
My coworker from work this past summer, she's missing. 25 years old.
This man is hoping his friend will be one of the lucky ones. She was in the area when the mudslide hit. She has not been seen since.
Do you have much hope that there's a survivor here?
I have as much hope as I could possibly have right now, but it's looking pretty grim.
He still has hope, but that hope is diminishing. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Montecito, California.
Facebook says it's changing what users will see. There will be more about personal and business connections and less from brands and media companies. Content Facebook calls passive. CBS News contributor Nicholas Thompson.
Facebook actually thinks that they will be able to make more money if people feel better about the time they spend on Facebook. So they're going to change the algorithm so they will prioritize the kind of content we talk about and that we share with our friends, as opposed to just the stuff we look at and maybe click on.
The changes won't affect ads, but could hurt businesses trying to reach people without paying for advertising. Owners of some 2006 Ford Rangers are being told not to drive them until they get airbag inflators fixed. About 2,900 small pickups are affected. One automaker is out with a new design plan for self-driving vehicles. CBS's Chris Van Cleve says some familiar features drivers now depend on will be gone.
A self-driving smart car without a steering wheel or even a brake pedal. General Motors says it's ready to start building them now.
It's pretty buzzworthy.
Ed Lowe from Motor Trend.
When you start taking away fundamental controls like the gas pedal, the brakes, and the steering wheel, it does really make the prospect of autonomous driving all the more real.
To get this self-driving car on the road by 2019, GM announced this morning it's filed a petition with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration asking the government to waive some federal standards pertaining to human-driven cars.
Well, in a couple of hours, the governor of Puerto Rico speaks to residents who fled the hurricane-torn island for Florida. CBS's Peter King joins us live from Orlando.
Governor Ricardo Rossello will hold a town hall meeting in Kissimmee. Its large Puerto Rican population has swelled since Hurricane Maria. Mayor Jose Alvarez.
I hope that his message is a message of support for these families that are here, that have left their homes at no fault of theirs and are here now struggling.
There's also a political component. In the Orlando Sentinel, Rossello writes, much of Congress has abandoned the island. And with more than a million Puerto Ricans living here in Florida, he says, quote, it's time we teach them that this willful neglect is a grave miscalculation. Steve?
Well, the latest social media fad has teens venturing into the laundry room. CBS's Anna Werner takes a look.
Many of the social media videos are recorded and posted by minors. They're putting poisonous laundry pods in their mouths for clicks and internet fame.
3, 2, 1.
They call it the Tide Pod Challenge.
Oh my God!
19-year-old Mark Pagan did it on a dare. He told us he knew better, but did it anyway.
A lot of people were just saying how stupid I was.
Now authorities say,
this is what started out as a joke on the internet. And now it's just gone too far.
Anne-Marie Burkle is acting chairman of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. At least 10 deaths have been linked to ingesting the pods. 2 were toddlers. 8 were seniors with dementia.
All over the country, the flu is a big story, and it only seems to be getting bigger.
The CDC here in Atlanta is expected to have an update on flu cases later today. There is so much flu, it's putting a strain on hospital resources. Already short on IV bags, some hospitals like Emory here in Atlanta are adjusting.
Medications that we don't have to reconstitute in IV bags, we're just giving to patients directly via syringe.
Emory's Dr. Jesse Jacobs says this looks to be one of the busiest years in the last 5 in terms of flu. And some schools in Kentucky and North Carolina are closing because so many students are out sick. Sabrina Cupid for CBS News Atlanta.
Another honor for actor James Franco.
I did not hit her. I did not.
He won Best Actor at the Critics' Choice Awards for his role in The Disaster Artist, but he skipped the event. 5 women have accused Franco of sexual misconduct. He's called the claims inaccurate. And that's the Roundup, produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.